No matter what's been good, bad, and ugly this year, no matter what you're going to face next year, you need to know the name Emmanuel, because that means you're not facing it alone.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the powerful message behind one of the names used to describe Jesus.
God is with you.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative.
I would like to say to all of our friends on behalf of our whole ministry, a very, very Merry Christmas. As you enjoyed food, fellowship, family, and friends, make the most of this time to be reminded about the real meaning of Christmas, and that is God become man so that men could connect with God. That's really what Christmas is all about. So have a very, very Merry Christmas.
And that's what today's message is all about, too. So let's join Dr. Evans as he shares some encouraging truth about that baby in the manger.
A master key is designed to unlock any door so that you can enter in to see what's inside. Jesus is the master key to Christmas. And one of the ways that we get to know him is through the many names that God has given to him in Scripture. One name that I would like to focus on today is found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. It reads as follows. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. But what does that really mean to call Jesus Emmanuel, God with us? Well, back in Isaiah 7:14, God's people were being attacked by the enemy. God showed up and told King Ahaz, I'm going to give you a sign of victory. And the sign of victory I'm going to give you is a virgin having a son, which will be my sign that you win and the enemy loses. So the virgin that has the son is really a sign of your victory, and that I'm going to be with you in spite of what is attacking you. Matthew picks up that quote and quotes it related to the birth of Jesus Christ. So one of the things you need to understand about Emmanuel is that no matter what you have gone through, no matter what's been good, bad, and ugly this year, no matter what you're going to face next year, you need to know the name Emmanuel, because that means you're not facing it alone. God is with you. So when he talks about the birth of Jesus Christ, he talks about it in the context of things not going well, of things not being apparently in your favor, of things that are coming against you. And he reaches back into history, prophetic history, and to say that the birth of Jesus Christ is God showing up at the worst of times. So I've got good news for you this season. You're not by yourself, because the birth of Christ, or Emmanuel, means God is with you. But let's go a little deeper, because obviously this prophecy goes much deeper. He says that this child that is born will be not just with you, but God with you. So the first thing you need to understand about Jesus Christ is his designation as God. He is designated as God. Now, we'll talk about how that happened in just a moment. But for right now, the New Testament over and over and over again equates Jesus with God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says that Jesus is the exact copy and duplication of God. Hebrews 1:3 says he is the exact representation of God. The Jews wanted to kill Jesus because he made himself equal to God. John 1:1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Writers of the New Testament over and over and over again declare Jesus to be God. I love the conversation that Jesus had with Philip in John chapter 14. In John 14, verses 8 and 9, Philip asked Jesus, "When are we going to see the Father? We've been with you for 3 years, and it's been nice. We've heard what you said. We've seen what you've done, but when are we going to see Big Daddy? When are we going to see the Big Mahaf? We want to see the number one guy." And Jesus looked at Philip and just shook his head. Said, Because he said, "Philip, have I been with you so long, you still don't get it?" He says, "When you have seen me, you have seen the Father." He made a declaration to be equal to God. So when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about God, not just another man. When I began to look at some of the names of God in the Old Testament, and then some of the declarations about Jesus in the New Testament, it became even more replete about the deity of Jesus Christ, that he is God. For example, God is called in the Old Testament Elohim, the creator God. And yet the New Testament says everything that was created by Christ Jesus. In the Old Testament, God is called Jehovah, the I am. And Jesus says to the Jews before Abraham was, "I am." In the Old Testament, God is called Adonai, the boss. In the New Testament, the Bible says we must confess Jesus as Lord, your boss. In the Old Testament, he's called Jehovah Nissi, your banner of victory. In the New Testament, Jesus says, "And I have overcome the world." In the Old Testament, God is called Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. In the New Testament, Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd, and the sheep hear my voice." In the Old Testament, God is called Jehovah Saba. He's the Lord of hosts. In the New Testament, Jesus said, "I could have called 10,000 angels." In the Old Testament, God is called El Elyon, the Lord who is high and mighty. In the New Testament, Jesus says, "I sit on the right hand of the Father, way up high." In the Old Testament, God is called El Shaddai. In Revelations 1:8, the Bible says Jesus Christ is Lord Almighty. So if you can get confused about the name of God, all you got to do is remember Emmanuel, because he is not only with us, he is God with us. But how did God get to be with us? Because God is transcendent in nature. That means the theologians say he's wholly other. That is, he's outside of our realm. He exists in another realm. He is infinitely distinct from his creation. So you cannot talk about creation as though God is a part of it, because he's distinct from it. He's in another zone. But he wanted to be with us, dwelling among us. The Bible explains how that occurs in Philippians chapter 2, because it says in verse 6, "Who although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped or held on to." So let's just stop there. It says, although he existed in the form of God, that is, Jesus, before he became a man, existed as part of the Godhead. That's why Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "Unto us a child is born, but unto us a son is given." Because even though the child was born, the son had to be given, because the son existed before the child ever got born. He says, now the way that that occurred, according to this next verse, it says, "But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men." So all that made God God was poured into human flesh So that apart from sin, God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. He emptied himself into humanity. And why did he do that? So he could be with us. So that he could be human in every aspect of the word apart from sin, while at the very same time being God. And go through the growth and development process that every human being goes through without losing his deity. So just think about that for a moment. The baby in the manger, while crying, is the same baby that made his mama. I mean, think about it. What that says is the baby in the manger, surrounded by animals, because the manger is a feeding trough, was the author and creator of the animals that were using the feeding trough before he arrived to eat out of. Now, the feeding trough is made from wood. So think about it. The baby laying in a wooden feeding trough made the trees that the trough was built out of. Think about it for a moment. Because he was man, he had to cry and take milk from his mother. So what you're dealing with, fully God, fully man, wrapped up in one person, the unique person of Jesus Christ. And so it says he emptied himself and made himself in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death. I love when the book of Hebrews explains the fact that when Jesus and God got together, they had a conversation. And in the conversation, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, the Father and Son decided that they would give the Son a body so he could come down and live among men. So the important point you want to know this holiday season is that the way you get closer to God is to get closer to Jesus, because Jesus is God with us. He is Emmanuel. He is the very presence of God in the midst. That is the nature of the incarnation. The incarnation, the becoming flesh of God in man.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to tell us more about the dual nature of Jesus and the detailed prophecies he fulfilled through his life and ministry. First, though, I want to encourage you to check out our brand new CD collection, The Best of Tony Evans 2018. It contains 20 of his most hard-hitting, life-changing lessons of the past year, digging into subjects like how to better understand what faith is all about, how to put that faith to work when times get tough, and much more. For the next few days, we'd like you to have it as our gift. Through Monday, if you can help us keep Tony's teaching on this station and end 2018 in the black with a contribution of any size, we'll send you the first 10 messages on this set on CD, along with digital downloads of the other 10. That's 20 full-length messages, yours in appreciation for whatever donation God leads you to make. Here's Dr. Evans with a word about why we're so grateful for your support.
Paul regularly thanked those who came alongside of him, who undergirded him with their generosity for the ministry God had called him to do. Well, we are doing the same. We praise our God for the friends that he's raised up who not only are blessed and benefit from the ministry, but who help sustain it through their generous financial contributions. So we thank God for you. If you're not one of those who come alongside yet, would you consider this being a great time to start? Why? Because as we close out the year, we want to end the year in the black and start the new year strong, but it takes friends and generosity to do that. We want to thank God for you because you have been used of God to keep us going. You are the wind beneath our wings. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your generous year and contributions. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Our hearts are grateful for your generosity.
Please visit us at TonyEvans.org and let us know we can count on your help so we can send you the Best of Tony Evans 2018. Again, that's TonyEvans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource center never closes, so don't wait. That's 1-800-800-3222. Now let's get back to today's message. Here's Dr. Evans.
Now, let's go a little deeper. Because in order for this to happen, a number of other things had to take place. The Old Testament prophesied that one day there would come a Messiah. And when this Messiah came, he would come through the legal and the biological lineage of David. Now, I need you to follow me on this one. The whole Old Testament said there will come a king, and this king will be God in the flesh. And he has to come through the line of Judah via the lineage of David. Because there were a lot of lineages in the line of Judah. But it had to come through this one line that would be through the lineage of David. Now in 70 AD, Titus, the Roman general, you can go back to your secular history and it will tell you this. The Roman general Titus destroyed Jerusalem. The Roman soldiers sent in Titus and the army to destroy the Jewish nation, and they destroyed the city of Jerusalem, and they destroyed the temple. That's what Jesus meant when he said not one stone would be left among another, because if the city would be totally wiped out and the temple would be totally destroyed. Now, why am I telling you that? I'm telling you that because in the temple were where the genealogical records of the Jews were stored. So when the Romans destroyed the genealogical records of the temple, they destroyed a Jew being able to trace back their lineage to their particular tribe. So now today, a Jewish person can't technically go back to the original tribe that they were from because the records were destroyed. That is, all except one record. There is one record that remained and was protected through all that would take place, because God said that the Messiah had to come through the line of Judah. Now, there are two genealogical records in the scripture. One is the record of Joseph and the other is the record of Mary. The most boring parts of the Bible, the parts you don't want to read and that you skip over when you read the Bible. God never wastes words. And so what the Bible had to show was that Jesus Christ could be proven to be the one that had been prophesied in the Old Testament. So when you read the genealogical record, it designates that Jesus Christ is from the line of David, both biologically and legally. Let me show you what I mean. In Matthew chapter 1, he makes it clear that it is the line of David. For example, in verse 6, Jesse, the father of David, the king. David, the father of Solomon. So he's tracing this line all the way down. There are so many stories and how God had to make this line work. I'll just give you one story. One story is in a whole book of the Bible called the Book of Ruth. Ruth wasn't even a Jew. She was a Moabitess. But because she followed Naomi, her mother-in-law, back to Israel and met Boaz, got married to Boaz. Boaz was a Jewish man. She had a baby named Obed. Obed had a baby named Jesse, and Jesse became the father of David. So God even reached to a foreign country to get her to the right country to meet the right man so that they could be in the right lineage to fulfill the list in Matthew chapter 1. He goes even further and he traces this line, and then it comes to verse 16. Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. But Jesus had to come from the legal line. So since Joseph became Jesus' stepfather, because he was not his biological father, and Joseph is from the legal line of David, Jesus qualifies to be Messiah because Joseph is his legal father, even though he is not his biological dad. But according to the Jewish line, the Messiah also had to have the biology of David. That's why when you look in Luke chapter 3, there's a whole nother genealogy. But that's not the genealogy of Joseph. That's the genealogy of Mary. And he traces the genealogy through David biologically and comes all the way down to Mary, who is the physical mother of Jesus. So God became a man, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, so that he could sympathize with our weakness. That we have a high priest who feels it. Why? Because during his 33 years on earth, he went through every category of situation you now face. He went through loneliness. He went through being forsaken. He went through being rejected. He went through being crucified. He even went through death. He went through everything you're going through. So you ain't saying nothing to him that he doesn't know what you're talking about, because he not only knows it informationally and academically, he knows it experientially. See, so when you talk to Jesus, you're talking about somebody who can feel you, who not only knows you, because he's God with us. And when you understand this is who you're dealing with, when you understand what God did to bring about this awesome, awesome experience that we call Christmas, when you understand Emmanuel is God, is sitting right next to you. He's not this ethereal, unreachable, untouchable superpower. No, he's not a movie. He's the real deal. And he became flesh and blood and lived among us so that we could have a personal relationship with the living and true God. That's who he is. So let's give him what he deserves. Let's give him the adoration. What should be the response? Well, let me close with Philippians chapter 2. Here's what it says, beginning in verse 9. For this reason, God has highly exalted Jesus, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Everybody who's in heaven is paying homage to Jesus Christ, because God has declared that everybody is to get recognition to Jesus Christ. Then he says everybody on earth is to pay homage to Jesus Christ. Then he says folk who have died, God is calling to pay homage to Jesus Christ. So here is the option. You can pay homage to him now voluntarily, or you will pay homage to him later mandatorily. But everybody is going to have to pay homage to the Christmas miracle of Jesus Christ. So why don't we give him some real praise? Why don't we give him some real glory? Because this is not another man. This is Emmanuel. This is God become a man who wants to dwell among us. And all you got to do is bow and give him the glory to his name. Give him the recognition that he deserves, because he is Lord of life and he is Lord of Christmas.
If you're ready to surrender your life to the Lord and make Christmas more special than it's ever been before, Dr. Evans would love to tell you how. Just visit TonyEvans.org, click on the top menu, and follow the link that says Jesus. Tony will answer your questions, lead you in prayer, and talk about getting your new life started off right. There are even some free downloadable resources to help you. Don't wait. Do it today. And while you're there, don't miss your chance to request our featured CD collection for the holiday season, The Best of Tony Evans 2018. Remember, for a few more days, we're making it available as our thank you gift for your year-end contribution toward the ministry of The Alternative. We're reaching out across the country and around the world through radio, TV, training and equipping events, resources, and more. But it's all supported completely by friends just like you who believe in Tony's ministry and want to help keep his teaching on this station. People often assume that somebody else is going to step up and meet needs like this. But if we're going to end 2018 in the black and kick off the new year with all of our outreaches up and running, we need to hear from you. Please get in touch with us by next Monday and let Tony know he can count on your help. You can donate online at TonyEvans.org or by phone at 1-800-800-3222. Either way, we'll send you The Best of Tony Evans 2018 as our thank you gift. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or let one of our staff members help you by calling 1-800-800-3222 any time of the day or night. Our resource center never closes. That's 1-800-800-3222. Some people think single is what you have to be before you get to be something else. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans says that real contentment begins when you understand who you already are and why. Find out more when you join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.